CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what do we hear in church? Is it even in the Bible at all? Maybe you've been reading your Bible on your own, come across something you don't understand, or someone's asked you a question. Well, that's the name of the program, To Every Man an Answer. We want to be sure we give people a good definition and a good reason for our faith. You know, the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by the removal of your mind. And so often people today, they kind of park common sense on the doorstep and just say, well, you know, I'm a Christian now and nothing has to make any sense. You know, I believe those that understand the Bible have the best understanding of how this world was put together by God Almighty and how he put you together and all those things that are so important. So I just want to encourage you, if you got a question you'd like to ask us today, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, the very first time to be on the program, we have with us Pete Malinger from Calvary Chapel, El Centro, California, just north of Mexicali, Mexico. Hi and welcome.
Hey, thank you for asking me to come on. It's a pleasure. I've listened for so many years.
Yeah, and you know, Pete, it's kind of neat. You know, this week or thereabouts, you've been saved 50 years. You accept the Lord 50 years ago.
That is correct. May 12th will be my spiritual birthday up in San Diego under Mike McIntosh.
And I'm so glad that the Lord grabbed you and all the things that God has you doing down there. And, you know, Pete, when did you get drafted into God's great kingdom work?
Well, you know, as soon as I accepted the Lord, I knew there was something totally different than what I was doing in life that was more important and more valuable. And right away, I just wanted to help. I just wanted to help. Whatever I could do, I would do. And it started off just by, you know, helping with the ushers. And then, you know, I heard Mike give a message, just try, see what you like. And if you don't like it, don't like it. So I went into Sunday school. That lasted a very short time. I realized that I was not called to be a Sunday school teacher at that particular point in my life. And then it was funny because we were at a retreat up in Twin Peaks, and there was a gal by the name of Madeline. And she asked this guy, Jim, do the Bible study at my house. Do the Bible study at my house. He goes, I don't want to do the Bible study. She goes, no, I want a Bible study. And he points to me and goes, Pete'll do it. I'm only 6 months old in the Lord at this time. And so she says, you'll do it? And I go, well, sure, but you have to ask Mike first. Knowing 6 months old in the Lord, Mike's going to obviously say no.
I know Mike. He ain't going to say no.
So she came back later and Mike said yes. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So I went down to a Christian bookstore, bought a commentary, wrote 12 pages of notes, read it. When I got there, I read the 12 pages of notes and says, I've got to go, and got out the door. You know, and I did that for a couple weeks. And then something happened that just scared the pants right out of me. This lady at the end says, well, I have a question. And I go, well, what is it? And she gave, you know, she asked the question, and I did the most spiritual thing I could think of. Let's go read it. Because I didn't know the answer. And So as I was reading it, the Lord just, I thought, unfolded it before my very eyes, what the answer was. Yep. And so I shared it with her, and she looks right over at me. And Mike, she says, boy, are you full of it. And I go, full of what?
Yeah. She goes,
the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it was. Wow. So in that instant, I learned how the Holy Spirit can really speak to you.
Amen.
And I began to just, you know, relax more, enjoy the teaching and questions. And if I didn't know the answer, I, you know, would find out the answer for him. And that just progressed. And I was doing a convalescent hospital ministry shortly after that, every other Sunday. And then some people down here in El Centro wanted a Bible study. And Mike and a couple other guys prayed about it. And they said, the only person that comes to mind is Pete Malinger. So I came down with 1 week committed. And that'll be 48 years January, because in 1977, Sunday morning, I've been teaching this study down here for about 6-8 months, and they said they wanted to start Sundays, and so we started on Sunday, the first Sunday of January of 1977, and I just have been here ever since. I've had opportunity to go, and I just felt the Lord say, no, stick it out.
Stay there. Well, yeah, I'm really glad that he did. And again, you know, being there all those years, we just built a new radio station in San Diego, California. And people say, well, what's that got to do with El Centro on the other side out in the desert? Well, the tower is up on top of a mountain, and it just so happens that part of the signal goes into San Diego, and the other half, the signal goes off the backside and goes right into El Centro.
Wait a minute. Tell them how that happened with the storm.
Well, yeah. You know, I don't think I ever told everybody this. We built this station, and 5 days after we built it, a snowstorm came through. This was just a month ago, came through and literally wrecked the antennas and everything. We got it straightened out, but it's back on the air. Glad you're with us, Pete. Wait, again, if you want to be part of
it. Let me share this real quick. You said that the FCC didn't allow you to put the tower where you had it.
Was because we moved it initially because it was too close to Mexico, so we moved it. And that is what allowed it to go into El Centro.
Exactly.
Not by accident, but by divine appointment. So
divine
amazing
appointment.
How God works. And so, Pete, I'm glad you're here with us again. Pete Malinger from Calvary Chapel, El Centro. If you're out in the area, I know we'd like to see him. Let's go to the phones. We have Sean on the line. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Hi, Sean in Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike, Pastor Pete. I've been listening to your show, Pastor Mike, for many years. Highly value and appreciate God's great work that you all do there. I've actually called in a few times, so it's good to be back and check in with you gentlemen. I was just basically 2 points. First I have is a comment, and the second one's going to be a question. But I was actually first calling to share and inform and relay a dream that I had, and just put it out there with you, and comments are welcome. And I'll certainly preface it by saying that I'm a born-again Christian, and I've been reading the Bible and studying for many years, and I can't seem to meditate and pray without engaging in the battle, you know, the battle that we're all in. Do the spoken word and the fire of God as I, you know, look out over the world and, you know, in the news and all the things that, the insights that we gain through reading the word and what took place historically and what took and what has occurred and what is currently occurring specifically to the battle. So part of the dream, that I had was, which was very clearly impressed upon me, I heard a voice speaking and revealed to me that a Jewish black man from Africa is the Antichrist. And so I'd ask God to reconfirm that for me over the, you know, the next couple of weeks. And he reconfirmed it. And that during the dream, I was also shown a map of the continent of Africa and the path of the enemy. And so I was pretty alerted and alarmed to this. And I asked, you know, of course he reconfirmed it. And I also understand the reason that God revealed this to me. And so, you know, certainly I can't disclose the reason why, but I have a clear understanding. And so, my question now is this: have you ever seen in the Bible where a prophecy that was given did not occur because a godly change took place?
No, and here's one of the things I always caution people on. You know, I've had a lot of dreams in my life. Some I think were godly inspired. I think some were inspired by pepperoni pizza and late night indigestion. And I always caution people, you know, Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I really caution people because I remember there were several people back, 20 years ago that had died and gone to hell. And, you know, they were describing what they saw in hell. And then some reported that they went to heaven Angels on Assignment, I think, was one of the books. And, these people were riding dogs around. Just crazy stuff. The point that I want to tell people is Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I always have trouble teaching or even entertaining people's ideas, dreams, or thoughts. And here's why. I can't prove it. And if I can't prove it, then I don't want to embrace that. Now, several years ago, you know, Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. And then you have and Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Well, first of all, the Antichrist is going to be loved by the whole world. And a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. So you can pretty much rule that out. And anybody on the internet that says that, you know, they're kind of a false prophet. The whole world's going to embrace the Antichrist. So when we understand that, I think these are some of the things that we have to be careful of. You know, Paul, in instructing Timothy, he said, teach, preach the word. And that's what we are bound to is God's word. God's going to hold me, you, all of us responsible for teaching his word, not anything else. Now, there may be some really neat ideas in the book of Enoch or the gospel according to Judas or some other thing. I don't teach any of that stuff. I don't teach the Apocrypha because it is not authentic. Now, has some like Maccabees and the Apocrypha have some historical value? Yeah, but I would never teach it as God's word. Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha, nor the book of Enoch, nor any of these things. And even in the book of Jude, it says, Enoch saith. It doesn't say the book of Enoch saith. There's no credibility to the book of Enoch. And these books have been around. They could have canonized them back when everybody came together in a little later than 300 AD, but junk then, junk now. And so I have to say that we all get unctions, dreams, things like that. But I always want to go back to the Word of God and see what the Bible says about this. So I don't really see anything that would say that he'll be black or anything like that. I don't know. Some people believe that he will be Jewish in that the Jews would never accept anybody but a Jewish person to be their friend. Now, many people believe that really the nation of Israel doesn't accept the Antichrist as their Messiah, but a person that's on their side. And I can kind of understand that and believe that because he befriends them, makes a treaty with them, Daniel chapter 9, I believe it's to rebuild their temple, which starts, I believe, the Antichrist reign on the earth during the tribulation. But I want to be real careful to never add anything to God's word. Pete, your thoughts.
I'm completely lined up with you exactly on that. And there's certain things that in the scriptures that indicate certain regions and certain, you know, styles of life, like you're talking about, where everyone's going to love him and everything of this nature. But, you know, a black man, that could be a dark skin. We don't know what color skin he's going to have. It's according to the Bible, it doesn't tell us anything. And I think when we take a look at, you know, prophets, the only way to really tell whether a prophet is true or not is if it comes to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass, then it's not something that we stand for or stand on. And until that time, and yeah, all I know is that when the Antichrist is going to be manifested, we won't be here. And that way we won't have to give our allegiance to him, because we've already given our allegiance to Christ. And the world who's rejected Christ, they're going to be the ones that will be dealing with the Antichrist. And he'll be pretty well known by anybody that, you know, an evangelical has talked to about eschatology. And so the only way I can suggest whether it comes true or not is if you want to hang out and see if it comes true or not. But I don't see it in the Word. I'm in 100% agreement with you there, Mike.
So I hope that sheds a little light on that, Terry. Excuse me, Sean.
Yes, sir, it does. I appreciate it both, gentlemen. Thank you very much for how you responded to that, and I fully agree with you both. So, again, thank you for the great work that you're always doing, and look forward to talking with you guys again soon. Thank you.
Sean, we're here for you whenever you need us. And like I say, I've gotten dreams too, and sometimes they're very vivid, and I remember them, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes they're crazy, and sometimes they're real. So I do know God can communicate to us that way, but whatever we have happened to us experientially, okay, dreams, you know, somebody, God told me to tell you, I want to be sure it lines up with Scripture, because I've had people come up and say, God told me to tell you, and they were so far off the track. I mean, they were crazy. Now I've had other people had a word of knowledge and it was real. But there are those that sometimes say those things, and I figure that if God's given an individual, such as somebody comes up to you, God told me to tell you, well, it will be something that I've already been praying about, something that's already fresh in my mind, and some inclination of which direction I'm supposed to go, and that person may confirm or deny that unction that I've had in my heart. But I'm real careful because, you know, we remember there was a story in the Old Testament about a man who was told, go deliver a message. Don't vary in any way from that. Deliver the message and come back. Well, as he was coming back, another prophet came to him and said, I'm a prophet like you are. Come and have dinner with me and everything like that. God told me to tell you, but he lied. And it cost this man his life, this prophet his life. So I just really believe that, again, we have to be very careful, and we have to confirm everything that comes from the Word of God. Sean, stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. 8888, ASCSN is the number to call. We're going to go to Terry, Bend, Oregon. Hi and welcome.
Hey, Pastor. I'm just calling for prayer. I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago when my mom passed away.
Yes.
And then, you know, I got, while my mom was still alive and hadn't quite passed away that night, my brother in Washington State called, and instead of calling to be a brother, he started an argument, you know, and I told him this wasn't the time for this, you know, while mom's dying, and he started blaming me and mom for everything and all this and stuff. Well, lo and behold, but I have to go through probate on the house to get my name on the deed. And in the will, he's not in the will. I get 100% of everything, but I just pray for God to direct me and guide me and help this go through properly and without any more headache, because my brother's been causing problems just from mom passing away. And, you know, he blamed everything on us and said he didn't make any mistakes. So kind of I'm just leaving him alone at this point, and I just need that prayer.
Well, we'll certainly pray for you. And, you know, Pete, why don't you pray for Terry right now? You know, I mean, when you lose your mom and then we find our in-laws become outlaws and everybody's fighting over who gets what and all those kinds of things, man, I'll tell you, it gets a little heavy duty, doesn't it?
It does. Terry, I'm not going to suggest that you do this. You'd have to pray about it. But this is something that happened to me when my dad went to be, my dad was an alcoholic for all of his life. And then he quit drinking for the last 10 years and accepted the Lord the last month of his life. And then later my mom died. I have an older brother and they made me the executor of the estate. And there was a piece of property that we both, you know, had. And we had to sell it, and he owed me money on it. And he was a little hard that he didn't think he did, and I knew he did. And I prayed about it, Terry, and this is what I felt the Lord say. And this is what I told my brother. I said, I love you, and I want my Christian witness to be more than money could ever be. So I am canceling your debt of $60,000 to me. You don't owe me a penny because I love you as my brother. I think you need to walk through this with love. Instead of him, you know, ruling over you, your love can rule over him. And love covers the multitude of sin. And so as hard as it is, it's hard to love some people sometimes. But that's an important thing that we need to manifest in our life. So can I pray that for you, my brother?
Yes, you can, my friend.
Father in heaven, I thank you for Terry. And it is always sad to lose our mothers, especially as we're coming up on Mother's Day this weekend. I just pray that all those that have lost their mothers, that Jesus, you said it was imperative that you would go home to the Father, that he would send the Holy Spirit to be the comforter. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you comfort Terry, his heart, and the loss of his mama, and all the other believers out there as well. And Father, I just pray that this frustration that Terry feels over his brother and the sadness, you would turn that into prayer and fasting and love for his brother, that one day, just like my brother, turned his life around and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so, Father, that would be our ultimate goal. So I pray your word tells us that if any of us lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask, and you'll give it to us unabraded. So I pray for Terry that you would give him that wisdom, not from man, not from me, not from Mike, but directly from your throne room of God to what he should do and how he should respond. And I thank you in advance, Holy Spirit, that you're going to comfort our brother in Jesus' name.
Amen. Terry, our prayers are with you. And if you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
God is good. And Terry, stay on line. We'll get you taken care of if you didn't get the things before. Again, 8888, AskCSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And we're going to go to Bridget in North Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi and welcome. Bridget, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How may we help?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How can we help?
I wanted to know what should I say to a friend of mine that's trying to, and for a few years she's been trying to get me to become a Jehovah's Witness, and I don't believe in their teachings. I don't knock them. I don't put them down, but I believe my belief in Jesus and the Christian way is the right way to God, to heaven. And she says she believes that they are separate, even though she believes that there's no way to God except through the Son. But God is higher than Jesus. So this is why they always worship, God instead of Jesus, the Son, too. They're one, you know. But I don't know what words or what to tell her. She's older than I am, too, so she's a lot more read in the Bible than I am. But I think there's a flaw in her teachings, you know, and what she's learned. And I don't know how to direct her where she can see that Jesus is the way.
Well, absolutely. And they do not believe Jesus is Lord. They believe Jesus is Michael the Archangel. The Jehovah's Witnesses use a completely different Bible than we use. It's called the New World Version. Now, in 2013, they rewrote the New World Version with 10% less words in it than the 2012 version. I guess you might call it cult Bible light. I don't know. But they eliminated 10% of the words in their new version of their New World Translation. There's so many problems with this. To just simply rewrite the Bible to suit your own belief, it's staggering. And then they continue to rewrite the Bible to suit their own belief. Because, you know, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. So as you search the scriptures, you find that Jesus is Lord everywhere through the Bible, Old Testament or New. And so they have to keep editing the New World Version to keep scrubbing out the lordship of Jesus Christ. As an example, you read Matthew chapter 1. Take a King James Bible. It says that he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with it. The word "which translated means" is actually in the King James Bible, so no one can mess it up. But yet they do. And understanding this is who Jesus Christ is. He's God. In John 8:58, we find a hack job. And no offense to any hack jobs out there, but a hack job in John 8:58 and John 8:59. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he was claiming to be ego amini in John 8:58. The same words, if you go back to where Moses said, and who shall I say to the people of Israel sent me? God said out of the burning bush, tell them the I am sent you. Well, in John 8:59, they picked up stones to stone Jesus because he was claiming to be God. But oh no, when you get into the New World Version, oh, they hacked John 8:59, all to pieces. But the point was, you can't claim to be God. It's a capital offense. Coming up on a break, we're going to have a whole lot more right after this.
Every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles. How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is, for example. It's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
To Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with Pete Mallinger, pastor of Calvary Chapel, El Centro, California, just north of Mexicali, Mexico. And our signal of our brand new station in San Diego just happens to cover El Centro, California. And so they get CSN radio now, as well as most parts of San Diego as well, and parts of the West Coast there down El Centro, part up by the sea, different down places down there. Pretty nice. So anyway, just want you to know you can tune us in anywhere. Now, when we went to the break, we were talking with Bridget, asking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do they have a different gospel than we do? Do they have a different Jesus than we do? And the answer is absolutely yes. You see, Jesus really, to the Jehovah's Witnesses, didn't pay at all. You have to keep the Sabbath. You have to keep to the dietary laws. Jesus Christ is not God in the Jehovah's Witnesses. However, the Bible says that he is. And this we find again, John 8:58, John 8:59. Get a King James Bible if you're a Jehovah's Witness. And then look at what they did to that verse in the New World Translation. It's an obliteration. If you go to the Greek, there is no way in a million years you can make John 8:59 say what they say it says, because it is speaking of them wanting to execute Jesus because he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be God in the verse before. Now, if he wasn't claiming to be God in John 8:58, there would be no reason for them to try to stone him. So these are just some of the myriad of problems that you find within the Jehovah's Witness movement. Again, we're not saved because we worship on Saturday. We're saved because our faith and hope is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. We cannot generate our own righteousness no matter what we do. Well, I keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. It doesn't do anything for your spirituality. Nothing. Everything spiritual concerning you is what God has given you. Paul says we put on the robe of righteousness. And that robe of righteousness is given to us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We just receive it. And Jesus gave us that because he died on the cross for our sins. Pete, your thoughts.
Well, Bridget, if you don't have much time to share with her, but you want to share something very important, remind her of what the Old Testament says about a prophet, that if it does not come to pass, they are false prophets. Take them outside the city and stone them to death. The Jehovah Witness and the Watchtower, the leadership of the Jehovah Witnesses, have prophesied the second return of Christ all the way back to the late 1800s, all the way back up into about 72. And then they finally said, well, he did come in 1914, but he's in spirit and he's locked away until just the right time. And then you bring that to their attention. They go, well, not everyone's perfect. Well, our God is perfect. His prophecies are perfect. The Messiah's prophecies, there was over 300 that were given, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. And if their leadership of the Jehovah Witness and the Watchtower, if they miss up on just one of those, thus saith the Lord, he's coming back, they're a false prophet, and you don't have anything to do with them. It's that simple. Mike had great, great Bible stuff, but that's an easy one to say when you don't have very much time to talk to someone.
Yeah. The false prophecies. The Lord was supposed to come back in like 1931 when they got their 144,000th member, because only 144,000 are going to heaven, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses. The rest just, and they didn't know what to do. So then they said, well, then the rest, and the 144,000th and first member, that member and those come after inherit the earth. Oh, wow. Pretty crazy stuff. They believe in annihilation for the ungodly, which Jude says that they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. So it is not annihilation. That is a false teaching. And on they go and go with all their doctrine, and they had to rewrite the Bible to suit their own belief. Pretty scary stuff. See, Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the New World Version, it says a God. They added a preposition in there, a. But if you go to the Greek, it's not there. They made it up. And this is a danger. Anybody that takes the Bible and rewrites it to suit their own belief, or adds, so to speak, volumes of inspired scripture to the Bible and says, well, the Bible is only true when it's interpreted properly using our other books, you got a problem. The Bible is the anvil which many hammers have worn out. Bridget, I hope that helps.
That helps a lot. And you know what my mom calls it? The boss book. And she says, you don't mess with the boss book. That's right. All right, you guys have been great, and I'm going to stay with you for the rest of my life. I'm going to follow you guys and listen and contribute as much as I can to your ministry because it is so needed.
Well, Bridget, appreciate that, and I want you to stay on the line. I want to send you out some books and DVDs. I think they'll encourage you and help your friends. So I got a little book called Time to Grow, and maybe if I can get the guys to send you an extra one to give to her, would be really good to this person that you've been talking to, because it's simply the gospel. It's just the Bible verses that are there on now what to expect once you accept the Lord. And again, so important. You see, the problem with all these cults, they never really know if they're saved because it's all based on works. And did you do enough works to merit heaven? Well, I've done the best I can. Then you're not born again. You see, we have the assurance of salvation because we go to heaven because God is good, not because I'm good. And that's something we always have to remember. Bridget, stay on the line. I want to send you out some things great to share with your friends and gifts to you. So stay on the line, Bridget. We'll get you taken care of. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Joe in Oswego, New York. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. Listen to you guys. Quite a many times, the first time I've called in. It was funny, the question I have is about supposedly this new movement called Hyper Grace.
Have you heard? I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny, it's kind of just the opposite of what you were just talking about with these Jehovah's Witnesses. So this Hyper Grace movement, the reason I'm calling you is because my brother is into it, and we kind of, I wouldn't really say have a falling out, but it was where, I think it's dangerous. I think it's a very, very dangerous proposition when, you know, Jesus Christ died on this cross for our sins and salvation, and we think that our sins are, they don't even think about sin from what I'm understanding about it. What's your
The Bible clearly says in the last days, people will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. The last thing people today want to hear is that they're a sinner. Now, the last thing many Christians want to hear is that they need to change their lifestyle and be pleasing to God. This is what the whole book of Corinthians and many of the other New Testament books were about. The book of Corinthians was not written to a brothel or a bar or, you know, something like that. It was written to Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says that these people that have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said, do not be deceived. And yet it seems like deceit is widespread and rampant and increasing. Evidently, there were people that crept into the Corinthian church saying, hey, once you're saved, you can live in the hyper grace and do whatever you want, man. You know, you and God's got a little deal on the side. Yeah. Really? Well, I don't know about any deals on the side. The Bible says when we come to God, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's my will be done, I'm not doing God's will. If I'm falling into a lifestyle that's mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that's not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, and then for a minister or any other movement to say, oh, no, that really doesn't mean what it says. Listen to me. Don't listen to the Bible. You got some real problems. Your thoughts, Pete?
No, I am completely in agreement with you. It's just The enemy never changes. You take a look at the book of Galatians. What's that? It's the opposite. You got to be so legalistic to make it into God. And now this grace, you can do whatever you want. That has been around all along. And what did Paul the Apostle say? Are you so spiritual that you can be now saved by grace and you're now living in the law? And he rebuked them for that. And I think there's just too many pulpits are afraid to speak the truth. And unfortunately, we have a lot of anemic and sick lambs that are out there because they don't know the word of God. And they're easily deceived. And I'm glad that you know the difference between you and your brother. So love your brother and let him know that what the word of God says is more important than what he thinks. And as long as you do that and you have the word to show you, or to show him, excuse me, you're going to be fine. So when you're there, I would encourage you to go ahead and read, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Point out those things to your brother and then show them they're being rebuked for what you're saying is grace. So who's right, they or God?
Yeah, and what's the whole purpose of really the epistles anyway in the Bible? Yeah, we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are God's commandments? Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments there. But if I'm loving God, I want to be pleasing to God. And again, we're to mimic the life of Christ the best we can. This is what the Bible says. Not for salvation, but for our testimony. And people that say, oh, no, once you accept the Lord, you can live like whatever you want. Well, they're not reading the Bible. And again, I believe this goes back to the heaping teachers of themselves having itching ears. Hope that helps, Joe.
Yeah, he doesn't really necessarily say, you know, live in sin, but he's saying we're saved. Great, it's like grace upon grace. It's this Andrew Farley. He's kind of the movement. He also said that, you know, when I brought up like the Sermon on the Mount, he said that, oh, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was only talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to the Gentiles. What's your thoughts on that?
No. You know, and even if he was talking to the Jews, Paul says we're grafted in. Now, that doesn't mean we keep the new moons and Sabbaths and all those kinds of things. But again, it goes back, if you love me, keep my disciples. And what you're talking about here is borderline dispensationalism, where, well, Jesus said one thing to one group of people, but it don't apply to us. Or yep. God in the Old Testament said some things concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, but it doesn't apply today. That's hyper-dispensationalism. Now, has God dealt with different people down through the different ages in different dispensations, like before the law, before the Ten Commandments came, when people were under the age of conscience? Yes. But that doesn't mean that that is all erased when a new a dispensation comes along. When, again, Paul says the law of the Old Testament was the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ to show us we needed a Savior. If you don't know what is offensive to God, and again, that's what the Old Testament tells us, we really don't know what we want to be living in Him. Now, yeah, Jesus was our Sabbath fulfillment. In Him, the Sabbath requirement was completed. But, you know, when the early church started getting saved, the Gentiles, what law should we keep the Gentiles under, since none of our fathers could keep any of the Old Testament laws? And so they just gave them a few that they need to observe. And that was mostly personal issues, because it still goes back to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the idea that anything goes, after slipping Jesus in my pocket, I just climbed to the top, man. Dangerous stuff. That's why we need to repent. And this is what the Bible says. And so, any last thoughts, Pete?
Yeah, let me read, just so other people can hear what you're talking about here out of 1 Corinthians 6. Starting in verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivals, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. And such were some of you, but now you have been washed, but you have been sanctified, made more like Christ, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so the last part of that section says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. And your brother has fallen into certainly not helpful things at all. All things were lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so when they go to the extremes without knowing it, they're going under the power that's missing the mark.
Amen. Joe, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like I said, it's a little upsetting that, you know, we don't really talk about Jesus or scriptures much anymore because, you know, it ends up in a little bit of an argument. You know, he said, I'm living in condemnation, which I almost think that he's living in condemnation, thinking with this hyper-grace type of attitude. But I won't keep you any longer. I appreciate you guys, and keep up the good work. God bless.
Amen. Well, you too. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, DVDs. I think it'll really encourage you, help you, share them with your friends, maybe with your brother. Let's go to Joe, also in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, can you guys hear me good?
Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, first of all, I just wanted to add to the fact of what you guys are talking about with the Jehovah's Witnesses. My wife and I, when we got married, she's a Jehovah's Witness, and she wanted me to become one. And I told her, I said, well, I'll check out your guys' religion and do my own research and everything, you know, through the King James Bible and so on and so forth. Well, one of the things that I stumbled on was that in probably their pre-2013 version was that even in their scriptures, they have it where Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And I pointed that out to her, and I said, right there, it shows that he's God, you know? So
yeah, he wasn't swearing.
Yeah, right? And Jesus did not deny him, you know, he didn't. So that I thought was interesting. But so my question for you guys, though, was in my reading, what is meant by work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Because obviously we're not of works.
No,
but what is meant by that?
How do you reckon Christ in your life? I think that's probably what it would be. You know, you work out your salvation. Not that we're working for salvation, but how do I come to the conclusions I do? What is acceptable to God? What isn't acceptable to God? Because so much of what we do every day involves other people. And so the thing is, working out your own salvation isn't that I'm working to be saved, but it's the way that my salvation is portrayed to other people. So in other words, if Pastor Mike is down at the local store with six bottles of vodka and enough booze to float a battleship, and I'm going through the line and somebody from church comes up and says, hey, Mike, how are you? Whoa, what do you got here in your shopping cart? I could really stumble that brother. You see, when we come to Christ, it's no longer about us. It's about our fellow man. And this is the problem. And so when we work on our salvation, we have to think, we have to reckon, how am I going to be the most effective for God in the kingdom of heaven? Your thoughts, Pete.
Well, Paul the Apostle there in Romans 14:14 was asked the question whether they could eat meat offered to idols or not. Yeah. And Paul, I love the way he answered it. I just shared this with a fellow in my office today. There in 14:14 of Romans, you know, the question was, and let me give a background a little bit. There were kosher sacrifices, if you would, and there were idol sacrifices of meat, if you would. There was so much idol meat that it was cheaper and compared to the kosher meat. So they were saying, can we pay less money? But other people are saying we're going to be demon possessed. And so Paul came back with this in Romans 14:14. And I love the very first part. He goes, I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's how we should make all of our decisions. He wasn't persuaded by what other people are saying. He was persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he went on to say, all things are lawful for me. I have liberty to do anything, but I will not do things that are going to stumble others. Now, if we're doing something that we enjoy doing and we feel we have liberty to do it, but other people don't feel we have liberty to do it, and if we do it in front of them and they stumble, we have done wrong. So what we need to do, and this is working out your own salvation, I'm going to die to myself more and more and more so that I can be more of a light of what Jesus would be if he was standing here right now. So I'm dying to myself. I know I can do it. It's okay. But this person is weaker than I am. I'm not going to stumble him. So that's evaluating yourself and asking yourself, yeah, I got liberty, but is it really, really worth it? I just won't do it if it's going to cause someone to stumble. It's just not worth it to me.
Amen. I hope that helps, Joe.
Can I ask another question real quick?
Sure.
I don't know if I got this out of chronological order or not, but I think it's John 5:37, where Jesus said, Jesus said, from my Father, whose voice you've never heard.
Well,
so my question.
Okay, what was your
question? My question on that is, isn't it prior to that he is baptized and God the Father says, you know, this is my Son who I'm well pleased.
Yeah. Well, of course, you got to realize the Pharisees who studied the scriptures never knew God. That's the real problem. Had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And this is one of the great problems that you continue to find through the Bible, is that the people know about God, but they don't know God. They know the scriptures, but they don't know the author. Your thoughts, Pete?
Well, who's he talking to is one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the key there. And when he's talking to the group of people that are there, it's pretty clear saying, and my Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor have seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him, you do not believe. So it's pretty hard to hear somebody when you don't believe they exist. As one thing.
That's true.
And the other thing is, the group of people he's talking to, he was talking to Jews in general at this point as well. And so even though they knew the law, they didn't know the God of the law.
So I hope that helps, Joe.
Yep. Can I ask one real quick question?
Yeah.
Are we to repent every time we sin? You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's what 1 John says. It says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. If we didn't need to repent, John wouldn't wrote that down. Your thoughts, Pete?
Well, again, who's he writing to? He was writing to Christians. And he says that, you know, just like you said, that if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'll tell you what, the times I sin, and I'm not perfect, so I sin. Ask my wife. And I will ask God to forgive me, and then I'll ask the person to forgive me as well.
And if there needs to be restitution, we need to do that. We can't say, boy, you know, I broke in your car, stole your camera and your toolbox and everything. Really need stuff. Now, bro, I need you to forgive me, but I'm keeping your stuff. No, you want to give the stuff back. You know, that's called fruits of repentance. And so that's part of seeking that forgiveness and repentance. But very clearly, John writes, my little children, writing to Christians, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And so if you're thinking about being a Christian and you're worried you're going to sin after you're a Christian, let me tell you, you will. But God made a provision for that continually as his children.
He's already paid for it.
Amen. We're all out of time. Joe, stay in line. We'll send you out books and DVDs. Bill, James, call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Pete. Again, Pete from Calvary Chapel in El Centro, California. Thanks, Pete, for being on the air with us today. Have a safe, blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't forget it's Mother's Day.
357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.